Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 9, verses 24 through 39, and reads as follows. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, those who are afflicted with blindness struggle to cope with the loss of a very important sense, the sense of sight. Many people, after they've had good eyesight for most of their lives, they may end up losing it, partially or completely, due to injury or sickness or advanced age. Such people would still have the memories so they could picture in their minds what things looked like, because, again, they at one time could see. But the man in our text, which we heard about last week too, he was born blind. Before Christ had given him sight, he had never been able to see before, so he wasn't even able to picture in his mind what things looked like prior to being given sight. But not only was he born with physical blindness, additionally, he, like all of us, you and me included, are born in a condition of spiritual blindness. Every sinful human being is born in that condition, unable to see and accept the mysteries of the gospel, blinded to the way of salvation. That spiritual blindness is far worse than physical blindness. Spiritual blindness is a condition of hostility against God himself, and in its end, if it is not cured, it leads to eternal death in hell. Now, during his public ministry, the Lord Jesus healed both physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And each one of you and me, we've experienced God's grace in bringing us out of spiritual blindness. He's brought us to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. So then today, on the basis of our text, let us meditate upon the following theme. Jesus removes physical and spiritual blindness. We shall first observe in our text how Jesus brought physical sight to a man that was born blind. And secondly, that he brought him to spiritual sight. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text for today begins with a man who was born blind being questioned by the Pharisees about how Jesus gave him sight. They asked him, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" Now we learn from the verses that come before our text that the man had already told them what Jesus did. How he spit on the ground, made clay from the spittle, put it on his eyes, and restored his sight. But the Jews refused to believe that he actually was born blind. So they called for his parents. And his parents testified to the fact that, yep, this was their son. And yes, he was born blind. They, however, did not confess Jesus to be the Christ or Messiah for fear of being put out of the synagogue. So it was a witness fact that this man was born blind, but it was also clearly a fact that he could now see through the gracious miracle of the Lord Jesus. Even the enemies of Christ should have been able to acknowledge this to be a great miracle. But if they did that, that would put them in an awkward position of admitting that Jesus was at the very least a good man, a man of God, a teacher come from God. Remember, that's how Nicodemus described his understanding of Jesus, even prior to being brought to saving faith in him. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Yes, even if the Jews still steadfastly wanted to reject Jesus as the Messiah, their Savior from sin, they should have still been able to acknowledge that he was doing the works of God. As Jesus told the Jews on a different occasion, saying, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Yes, in addition to providing important help for those in need, the miracles of Christ gave important evidence to the Jews that he was the Messiah, the Savior foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. But the Pharisees were filled with so much hatred against Jesus that they threatened to throw out of the synagogue anyone who would confess belief in him as the Christ or Messiah. And here in our text, they openly reveal their hypocrisy when they told the man who was healed by Christ to give God the glory and simply deny the fact that Jesus had anything to do with it. We read, "Give God the praise. We know that this man," namely Jesus, "is a sinner." In much the same way, the Jews of today claim to glorify God while at the same time reject his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, as being a deceiver and a blasphemer. It is, though, impossible to honor God the Father and at the same time dishonor God the Son, for Jesus says, "All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." When the man who had been healed from his blindness refused to lie and deny Jesus' involvement, the Pharisees just became frustrated with him and labeled him as being one of Jesus' disciples, while describing themselves as being the disciples of Moses, the great prophet of the Old Testament. We see in our text that they told him, "Thou art his disciple," meaning Jesus' disciple, "but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow," namely Jesus, "we know not from whence he is." In response to that, the blind man, or the formerly blind man whom Jesus had healed, rightly pointed out that if Jesus were such a bad person, God would certainly not hear him and perform miracles through him. Accordingly, he tells the Pharisees in our text, "Why, herein is a marvelous or amazing thing. that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now that very logical, bold declaration brought upon that man the consequence that his parents had feared. He was cast out of the synagogue. Our text says, they, the Pharisees, answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. He was no longer permitted in the synagogue. The Pharisees absolutely would not tolerate anyone who spoke favorably of Jesus, or even suggested that he could be a man of God, a prophet of the Lord. We Christians of today should be very thankful that in this country, at least currently speaking, our government guarantees to its citizens the freedom of religion, so we don't have to worry about the police coming in here and throwing us out of the church and jailing us because it doesn't agree with what we teach. No, we can confess our faith boldly, and the government cannot arrest us for that. Yet. There were times in history when that was the case, when if people would speak up boldly about their faith and those in power did not like it, they could be beaten by the government and jailed, or in the case of our text, expelled from the synagogue. May God graciously preserve such persecutions from coming upon us in the future. Nowadays, persecutions because of our faith take other forms, such as verbal harassment at the place of our work or at school and so on. If we let our light of faith shine forth as we should, well, then the children of darkness will often act very hateful toward us. But this does not mean that we should hide our faith and act like unbelievers or just go along to get along. No, if we would do that, then we would be denying our faith and the Lord Jesus. And let us never forget what Jesus says, namely, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The man who was born blind, whose physical sight was given him by a miracle of the Lord Jesus, was thrown out of the synagogue. That must have been a very disgraceful thing for him to endure. And it may have caused him to have some fears about his relationship with God. Was he right to say what he did? Was he now doomed to hell because of his testimony? The Pharisees had spoke to him as if that were the case. They said, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? The joy that this man experienced in being able to see for the first time was quickly followed by that upsetting event, all because the Pharisees so hated Jesus, the one who had given him his sight. Now, he really didn't even know who Jesus was, other than a prophet, a man of God. That much he knew. He had physical sight, but his spiritual sight was still lacking. He did not know Jesus yet to be the Savior, the Messiah. But that was soon to change. We read in our text, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Notice how this man was eager to learn who the Son of God was. And by the word of God, spoken from the very mouth of the second person of the Trinity, this man was granted the spiritual sight of being able to see Jesus as his Savior. Without the word of God, the man whose physical eyes could now see would still have been lacking spiritual sight. But now he had that too. It is important to remember that all people since the fall of Adam are born into this world with the condition of spiritual blindness. Indeed, by nature, nobody knows the way of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And in that spiritual condition, if it's not remedied by God, even if he's brought the gospel, he still regards it as foolishness. But the Holy Spirit of God works on the heart to cure that spiritual blindness, to bring a person to spiritual sight, to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the light and sight of saving faith. The Bible tells us, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." As Jesus came and revealed himself through his spoken word to the man in our text, bringing him to spiritual sight, so also Jesus comes and reveals himself to us in his written word, Holy Scripture. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In the gospel, we are told about Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, how he saved us from our sins by his perfect life, by his innocent suffering and death in our place as our substitute under God's wrath on account of our sins. Because of that work of redemption or atonement, all who place their trust in Jesus receive the forgiveness of all their sins. They become the adopted children of God. And when they die, they are taken by God to the glorious inheritance of heaven. They are to live with him in joy and pleasures forevermore. Now we know that this man in our text had indeed become a true believer because of the way he confessed his faith in Jesus and immediately showed forth the fruits of faith. Our text says, "And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him." His faith was not just a dead, hypocritical confession with his lips, but a living and genuine faith of the heart which showed itself to all those around by how he worshiped the Savior. In like manner, you and I are not merely to confess with our lips that we believe in Jesus and then go off living just like the unbelievers. No, we are, like the man in our text, to show our faith by our actions. Worship him. Honor him with your life. Avoid what displeases him. Devote your life to his service according to his commandments. That's the kind of worship that the Lord requires of you. So, both saving faith in Jesus and a life of good works out of love for Jesus are the result of the work of the Holy Ghost, enlightening our understanding, bringing a person out of spiritual blindness to spiritual sight. The Spirit accomplishes this great work through the gospel. But sadly, most people who hear the gospel steadfastly reject it in their spiritual blindness. As St. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, namely the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Though they are indeed spiritually blind, most unbelievers, like the Pharisees in our text, fool themselves into thinking that they see just fine and need no enlightenment. And sadly, those who deny their spiritually blind condition, claiming to be able to see just fine, will remain in that blindness because they are content being in that condition. They think they're just fine. This is just like a person who doesn't believe himself to be sick. but thinks that he's healthy, even if he's sick, will despise the work of a doctor. Just like a person who doesn't think he has any sins will despise the forgiveness of sins. Thus Jesus told the Pharisees on a different occasion, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And in the last verse of our text for today, Jesus declares, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see, that rather, which they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Yes, Jesus is the Savior of those who are spiritually blind. He brings them to spiritual faith, or spiritual sight through faith in him. But he's also the judge of those who arrogantly claim to be able to see just fine when in reality they are blind. Christ's judgment, their punishment, is that they become more deeply lost in their spiritual blindness, since they want nothing to do with the Lord who heals such blindness. So may God ever preserve us in the marvelous light of saving faith, the light of salvation through faith in Christ. We should never forget to pray for those who are still sitting in darkness and spiritual blindness in the shadow of death. Pray for them that they may come to the realization of their spiritually blind condition, trust in the work of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, and then be brought to spiritual sight by the power of God, and be preserved with us in the one true faith unto life everlasting, where our sight in heaven shall never grow dim, and the brightness of God's glory shall be our constant joy. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.